Welcome to my monthly podcast titled Becoming a Sage. My name is Jan Fried, but you can call me Dr. Jan. I blog about leading, living, and saging, or positive aging. I am passionate about helping people get from where they are to where they want to be, particularly in the second half of life. I also say I'm out to retire the word retirement. We are not retiring, but we're moving on to something else. And I believe it takes time and intentional thought to successfully move on to what's next in life. Today, I'm interviewing Sherry Borzo, whom I've known for many years because of our now adult children. Sherry Borzo is the founder of Storied Gifts, a personal publisher of histories. For more than a decade, Storied Gifts has worked with families and companies to curate and craft their stories into meaningful content to share with those who matter most. Sherry admits that she is a sucker for great personal stories and believes in their power to help save the world. When not working with others to preserve stories and photos, Sherry is a proud grandmother of two. Welcome to the series, Sherry.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well, great. Well, I've been interested in Sherry's work for a long time, particularly because of this whole idea of legacy and memoir and, you know, how we can pass wisdom on to different generations. So, Sherry, describe your business in more detail and the inspiration for starting this work.
Okay, well, thank you again, Jan, for letting me be on today. So let's see, I started more than a decade ago, and it really was one of those ideas that just came out of my husband asking a question, well, if you could do whatever you wanted to do and get paid for it, what would it be? And my professional career had just been a series of things that I was happy to do for a while, but I never really felt passionate about. And so when he asked me that question, the first thing that came to mind was I would love to get listen to stories and drink coffee and get paid for that. And it was about the time that on-demand publishing was becoming a really big thing. And so I just realized that I could, you know, interview people and take that content and craft it into a narrative and turn around and print it fairly inexpensively, as opposed to having people order hundreds of books, mm-hmm. which is what had to be done beforehand. And so that's where the idea really originated.
Yeah. Can you describe more, like in detail, exactly what you do? I mean, yes, you interview people, but just kind of give us an overview of what your offerings are.
Okay. So primarily my biggest piece of what I do is I interview individuals or CEOs of companies, that sort of thing, and ask them to share the stories. And we usually do that over a series of sessions where they talk and I ask questions. And so that's definitely a big piece of it. Then we usually pull together the memorabilia, and usually that is photographs. And we take those interviews and we go in a direction that they want to go. Maybe they want to focus on an entire story up to the point of the interviews, or maybe they want to focus on a particular area. For example, the early childhood if it's an individual. And then what we do is we go through these series of interviews, and once I've gotten all the content from the interviews, if it's a person, you know, we gather up the other pieces, and then I craft it together in a book, in a mm-hmm. narrative for a book. If it's company, then maybe that includes other memorabilia like newspaper articles or interviews with other people who have worked in the business or interviews with other customers that mm-hmm. they've had over the years.
Mm-hmm. You know, I see a real niche, and you probably already do this or know this, but, you know, for family-owned businesses, you know, to really capture that history, for generations to come. I mean, family business in particular just kind of comes to mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're absolutely right, Jan. That's right. I think, you know, that's an area where that's where I've done my work really with companies. It's usually a family-owned business, and they've survived and thrived over the decades. And they, you know, usually the founders of those companies really understand what they had to do. It's not easy, as you and I both know, to own any kind of business. Mm-hmm. And if they've been able to succeed for any length of time, they want to leave a legacy, because chances are, I mean, you know, we talk about assets as a legacy, but, you know, those assets aren't going to mean much to the generations that follow if they don't appreciate how you got to have those assets. So including the stories hopefully will give the generations that follow a real respect for their history and any other kinds of assets that come with that.
Yeah, I think that's excellent. And I think R&R Realty is coming to my mind because they just built this fancy new building on Jordan Creek Parkway. And that's a family-owned business, and I think it's into the third generation.
Wow.
So anyway, you might think about that. Well, good. What are the most common obstacles you find that people have in making the move to preserve these life stories? What holds people back?
Yeah. So I will say, and I know this doesn't sound like a really good sales pitch, but that's not really what I'm about anymore. You know, I think in the beginning, you're hungry and eager. And so you think, well, storytelling, life storytelling is for everybody, but it's really not. But it's for those people who really value their stories and they want to tell them. And some people just don't want to do that. And I appreciate that that's where they are. But the biggest hurdle that most people have is they don't think that they have any stories, first of all, or they think that their stories won't matter to anyone. And my favorite quote comes from John Prine, who I went to a concert once for John Prine, and he was getting commands from the audience, you know, to play particular songs. And he stopped at one point and he said, "I ain't no jukebox." And that's how I really think about people sharing their stories. It's, you have to sit and think for a while, and you have to maybe do some work create a timeline and that sort of thing. But everybody has stories. And it's not just that you remember the stories from the past as they happened in the past, but the most significant thing about remembering is that when we remember our stories as who we are today, no matter what that age is, that's relevant because we see our past through the prism of who we are right now. And that's the richest, most valuable thing we share with other people in sharing our story. Who I share my story as at 50 is far different than the story and the understanding I had of my past at 30. And you and I both know this. We know that wisdom should be the sexiest thing happening these days.
Right.
Wisdom should be really sexy. And who I am now really shapes how I feel about those stories of the past. And that's the thing to convey when we're sharing our past.
Boy, that is, Sherry, that's powerful. I love that. Mm-hmm. What is the biggest misconception that you observe with people who are asked to preserve their life stories?
I think the biggest misconception, and I go over this hurdle with people, is they get stuck in details. And you know, other aspects of those stories that are rich with details, but not to the point that it's the kind of tractor. Unless the tractor and its brand are really essential to the story, I think people sometimes get bogged down in details that just don't matter, when what they need to be talking about are the feelings and maybe the resolution of the story, that sort of thing. And so sometimes I do find that people get stuck. Mm. That in that area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I always take notes because it helps me remember here. The thought of telling one story can be overwhelming, I think, for some people. What are some ways to help people even get started with this? Because I know that I was talking to my parents about this, and you and I've talked about how do I preserve their stories, and it's complicated. What are some ways to help people get started?
Yeah, it is a really overwhelming task for some people, and I have not. It's an interesting thing. I've never really understood how to deal with this. But often, when you know, a person like yourself goes to a parent and says, "Gee, would you record your stories?" They look and they look over their shoulder and they go, "Am I dead yet?" I mean, they're wondering why you want to do this, first of all, and then the next thing they do is they get overwhelmed because the minute you say, "Well, tell your life story," you just don't even know where to begin.
Mm-hmm.
So the most valuable thing you can do is to simply start a timeline. And here's the perfect way to make it fun is to actually engage your family in the project. Ask, you know, so when you go to your parents and say, "Tell me your stories," put the onus right back on the kid asking for you to share the stories and start writing a timeline of events, moves, the birth of children, the death of family members, education, all of the things, anything like, you know, just a, like a, like your job resume, only this is your life resume. And you're going to go through and you're simply going to start picking up these big milestone moments and simply chronicling them in order. And amazingly, what comes from that is, first of all, you can have really rich discussions with family members because, of course, you thought the dog died in 1972, but they're sure it died in 1975. And why do they think that? And guess what? All of a sudden, you have other stories that suss out from starting to remember these particular events. So I say, create a timeline and then force your family to get involved in that timeline by making sure that you all are on the same page as to when certain things happened. And the only other tip, and I'm sorry if I'm going kind of off here, but the other thing that's really rich to do is simply pull out people under the age of 30 are not going to really know this, but there was something called photographs that we actually printed hard out, copies of. Yeah, and we printed them in hard copies, and we kept really wretched pictures because they were those candid pictures, and you printed a whole batch of them, and you couldn't throw them away because you had all these photos. Even if they were terrible, we kept them.
Right.
So pull those out and use those to help you create that timeline. They will help you.
That's excellent, yeah. Excellent. You work with people helping them organize photos. You know, we're talking about photographs here that, again, a lot of young people, it's kind of an interesting story. I printed out some photos that I had taken of my nephew's children, little children, because they're so adorable and they live in California. And so in my holiday card to them, I sent them photographs. And my nephew said, you know, we have so few photographs. I mean, even though they take pictures all of the time on their phone and iPad and whatever, he said, we have so few printed photographs. He said, that was a real gift. Isn't that interesting?
Wow. Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah, I think most that they're saying that this, you know, today's children are going to be only be JPEGs.
Exactly. Yeah. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Well, you work with people helping them organize photographs. What tips can you provide for, you know, managing, you know, all of these old photographs that we have? I mean, one thing that bothers me is I took all of our old VHS tapes and I put them on DVDs or CDs, whatever. And now computers are coming without CDs, cars are coming. Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, I don't know. Is the cloud the answer or what's the deal, Sherry? What do you think? What's your opinion?
Well, my opinion is so just let me riff on this a couple ways. First of all, isn't it remarkable, all this technology we have? And the truth is the book is still an amazing piece of technology. And how many hundreds of years old is it? I don't know. It's old. But you know what? When everything else fails, guess what? You can still pull a book down and you have this intimate relationship with it. You turn the pages, you drop your egg salad on it. It's a piece of your memorabilia in your home. It's so I really like the idea of taking those images and putting them into books. And it's so simple to do now that is a great way to preserve them. Of course, culling down, because again, for those people who weren't, you know, didn't live in the 70s or 80s or the 90s, we have a lot of pictures that are just worthless. And we need to really sift those down and decide what's really valuable to keep. The other thing, the truth is, and isn't this ironic, but when I look around at the topic of photo organizing and they're saying, guess what they're telling people to do now? Print them. Hello. Print them. So they're saying, you've got these digital images, but guess what? You're right, Jan. You're never going to be able assured that those images are going to be around a decade or Well, let's talk long range. A decade from now,
right?
Heck, maybe even 5 years from now.
Right.
I mean, time moves so fast. So the truth is if you care about that, if those pictures actually meant something to you, and you're trying to document your life in some way, print them.
Yeah. No, that's excellent. Well, Sherry, I just really admire what you do, and I'm intrigued with it, and I think it's so important for legacy work and all of that. Based on everything you've done, what else should I have asked you that my listeners need to know, either about photographs, about stories, about legacy, about preserving history? You know, any tips or words of wisdom here that we haven't shared yet? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think the most important thing is to remember why you would do any sort of project like this, because quite frankly, it can be daunting. Now, you either pick somebody like me who can hold your hand through the project and get you to the finish line. I mean, that's why you hire an expert, is because you really want to get it done. But the most important thing, I think, with any of this is to actually spend the time having the conversations as you work on the projects with the family members and friends that, you know, are involved in these things. For example, as you just said, you actually sent photographs of family members' children to them. I mean, the only reason to do any of this is because storytelling is valuable. It teaches lessons like nothing else does. And because at the base of it, the meaning of everything we're here for is to connect with each other. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it take the time to have those conversations about memories and about the stories as you're working them up. And then finally, I'm not a perfectionist. That's not my thing. But progress is my thing. And so give yourself a break, make progress, the goal, and you'll get there.
I love that. Make progress the goal. 'Cause that could, you know, apply to anything. My big project. So I love that. Take the time to remember the memories.
And then make time to talk with other people about them. I mean, you've got children who are in their 30s, right? Or getting
right?
around that
no,
bucket.
You're right, yeah.
Have the conversations now. Remember, because it will shock you. Maybe you've already done this plenty, but you remember a certain event a certain way. Ask your family if it's even on their register or something that they recall, or how, you know, you may be surprised. Just have a storytelling session about Christmases and see which ones are most memorable for them and why. You might be surprised at the traditions that you thought were so important that they don't remember, or other things you didn't give a second thought to that turned out to be the most pivotal things for them. It's a chance to connect and rediscover each other, really. And that's really what it's all about, is connection.
Yeah. Well, Sherry, that's excellent. Well, this series is about, you know, how to make the rest of life the best of life. And I think your wisdom that you shared here definitely can help all of us, because I definitely agree it is about connection. It is about remembering. And it's about relationships. Ultimately, it's about relationships and especially with people that you care most about. So, well, Sherry, thank you very much for making this time. And I appreciate it. And we'll stay in touch.
All right. Well, thank you for the work you're doing. I love your podcasts, and I listen frequently, and I love your blog post as well.
Thanks, Sherry. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.